Kelly, no, you should know. You should respond when you see a little child with great love and just a heart that wants to bless them. And we're going to be looking at what that means this morning. But I remember my great aunt who ministered in Arizona back in the 1950s in an Indian community, helping to start a church there. And she would have VBS and children's programs, and she never had a child. But all the children would be gathered around her and loving her. And I still am reminded of how they were her children. She just loved them. And as they grew up, they would stay in touch with her and give her so much thanks. So you can bless children. You don't have to have your own. Just look at children the way that Jesus looked at them. You know, as I look at the fruit of the womb is a reward, I think of my grandchildren. And this is the newest grandchild, a son, Abraham. It's just really wonderful. I should have announced it last week, but I'm glad I didn't. So I get to do it here today. And I look at my grandchildren, our grandchildren, Lois and mine, and I just love them. Just an incredible heart that goes out to them. And I say to myself, how could you not love this little person? And yet, our governor, according to the New York Times, said that, and this was a couple weeks ago now, promised to protect women's reproductive rights by expanding the state's abortion laws within the first 30 days of the new legislative session. Well, what does that mean? Expand the reproductive rights. It sounds like, wow, I want to protect women. What does that mean? You can't really figure out too much what it means from that article until you read another commentary on it, which would be the Christian Post. New York Governor Cuomo is refusing to sign the state's budget unless the legislature passes a bill that makes abortion up until birth for any reason legal in the state. Up until birth. Now, you might not know that Roe v. Wade made it legal for abortion all the way up through the ninth month, right to the end of the term. Now, that's crazy. You might say, well, you know what? It can't get any worse than this. Oh, really? The next step will be someone is going to propose legislation and say, you know what? Parents need to be able to make a decision. Once the baby is born, if they don't like it, they should be able to terminate it. And there are people who are already saying things like this. It doesn't shock me because you have them doing it right up until the moment before they're born. This is crazy. And this is the world that we live in. I'm thrilled to know Jesus' love for children because I want to be I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you love children. You love them from the womb all the way up until they become adults. You have that love in your heart for them. I love this passage in Mark chapter 10. Then they brought little children to him. And when they say little children, it's the parallel passage to this in Luke 18. Same passage, same story. Luke 18, Dr. Luke uses the term brephos. And it's a term that is used of children, very, very young children. In fact, it's used of John the Baptist when he was in the womb. That is how young, in the womb, and probably not even walking around yet. They're still needing to be held in the hands. And I think of that. This is one of the signs that we hold out on the street. Equal rights for all humans. And this is the controversy. Oh, this is not a human. How can you say it's not a human? 12 to 14 weeks. I think this is about 12 to 14 weeks here. And it's Dr. Luke says, oh, yes, John the Baptist, when he was in the womb and he saw Mary coming, he leapt within her womb. And so he called her up. Oh, boy. One of my illustrations today. All right, we'll just leave it there for right now, okay? So here, Dr. Luke is saying, yeah, this is a child. The child leapt in the womb. Why? Because it was responding to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, well, Scripture doesn't say anything about children in the womb. You haven't read it. You haven't looked. You haven't listened. And so here they are bringing the little children to the Lord, and that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them when they brought them to him. And they're rebuking these people because they had just had an experience with the Pharisees. The Pharisees came to test Jesus. Can a man get a divorce for any reason? And so there's a lot of tension in the situation. The multitudes are standing around, and Jesus answers them and brings them to the place where from the beginning permanency of marriage was clearly established. Now, these people who heard all of these give and take were now motivated. You know what? Jesus is our champion. He's our champion for our families. He's our champion for our marriages. We want to get close to Jesus. We want our children blessed by Jesus. And so they're coming to have him bless them. And the disciples just don't see it, do they? They just don't see it. And that should caution us. What do we see when we see children? Do we see them in need of our blessing? Do we see them in need of our special care? Do we see that they need to be close to Jesus? Well, they're not going to get close to Jesus unless you're close to Jesus. And so it's important for us to continually remind ourselves and renew ourselves in this truth of how Jesus loved the children. We see him go on there, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the children come to me." He was greatly displeased. Let those parents bring those children to me. I want to bless them. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. The child who is completely dependent on their parent, they're the illustration for all of you big time adults. Are you completely dependent on God for everything, beginning with salvation? And so the little children are called and they come to him. And assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. Have you come before God completely trusting that he has everything you need? That's the attitude of a child for a parent, isn't it? Oh, mom, dad, you have everything I need. They don't know any better. And it's beautiful to see that. When that's compromised, it's a different story. Well, he took them up in his arms. He literally took them up in his arms. He has people pressing. He has the Pharisees coming at him. He has the disciples trying to protect him. He has people coming to be healed. He's touching all of these people. It's an incredible, incredible experience. And everything stops. He has to pick up the children. He has to have time for the children to love them and to bless them. And he laid his hands on them. He takes them up in his arms. Now, it's something different laying his hands on them. And then he blesses them. It's a spoken word that he will give to these children. Let's look at some of these things individually. He took them up in his arms. He's saying, and he's telling all of us, you need to communicate to your children that they can count on you. They can count on you to be there for them. They can count on you to be close. You know, in real estate, we say what? Location, 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 right? in parenting, it's relationship, relationship, relationship. Am I someone who communicates to my children, I want you close to me? I want you to have that sense of security and protection in your life. I want you around me. I want a relationship with you. I want to make sure it's right. Not only with presence can you bless a child, it's mostly with your presence. And that's something that is dearly missing. Parents want to get gifts for their kids. I'm going to buy them this. I'm going to buy them this. And you get such joy out of blessing your children with an inanimate object, a blessing of giving them a present. But that's not what's most valuable in their life. What's most valuable in their life is you, is your relationship with them, is your presence with them. Getting close to them and giving them that sense that they are valuable because of this. Well, we go to the next one. He laid his hands on them. And this term, laid his hands on them, it talks about it's a special way of touching them, having them feel special and valued by meaningful touches. And sometimes you can give a meaningful touch to a kid by, pushing them a little bit, kidding around with them. It tells them, you're special to me. A special hug, whatever it is. But you want to communicate warmth. You want to communicate, you are valuable to me. And so you take time and you make sure that that's done. Your touch can signify that God is present for their lives, literally. And will transfer strength to your child. They've done studies of people touching another person. And they say that there is a chemical transaction that takes place in both people that blesses them. So it's important for us to make sure that we're giving meaningful touches to our children. Dr. Charles Nelson, a professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School, said, neglect is awful for the brain of a child. Neglect. Without someone who is a reliable source of attention. Get that? A reliable source. There's no one more reliable than a parent. No one. No one can come close to it. To give the proper attention, affection, and stimulation for them. The wiring of the brain goes awry when that is absent. The result can be a long-term mental and emotional problems. It's something that we need to be very, very aware of. How am I going to impact my children? You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't have to worry about orphans because I would never orphan my child. Some parents are orphaning their children by sending them off to their room to play with their video games and to watch TV. And I this morning you might say, oh, guilty, Pastor. Oh, I'm guilty. I feel terrible. You know what? I don't want you to feel guilty and terrible without doing something. Back it off a little bit. Take it back. Analyze how much time are they playing with their video games? How much time are they watching TV? How much time are they on social media, the social media with their friends? How much time? Well, let me cut that back. Let me pull it back. Let me have a goal to pull it back to where I have more influence on my children than all of these other things have on them. That's one of the things that Lois and I said to ourselves. We're going to have more impact on our children than anyone else or anything else. We're going to analyze how we can have more of an effect on our children than anyone else. And it takes work. It takes focus. And you can take it back. Sometimes you have to do it a little bit at a time. But have a goal where you can see you're going to have more influence and more impact on your children than anything else in this world. Work at it. Don't let it go. Especially in the younger years. Especially in the younger years. I love this story. it happened that in a certain city, a man who was full of leprosy. When it says full of leprosy, it means it was all over his body. What is all over his body? Sores. Because his nervous system is not functioning properly. He can't feel pain. That's what a leper is all about. He can't feel pain. So when he gouges his hand or his face or there's a problem and he itches it and it gets infected, he doesn't feel the pain. His tooth gets infected, he doesn't feel the pain. His hands, he can have a cut on it and it can get infected and he'll lose his finger. He doesn't feel it. And so he's a mess. He looks like a mess. And what did people do at this time to the lepers? They picked up stones and threw them at him. Get away, leper! They would cry out, leper, leper! Throw stones at them and get them out of there because they were filled with fear. I don't want to get that. Jesus. See, this man sees Jesus. He fell on his face. He's imploring him, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He had heard of who Jesus was and what he could do. Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Can you imagine Jesus? How to compromise your ministry? Touching somebody who everybody is sickened by. And yet he stops and touches in a meaningful way. It's not like he's just going, oh, let me touch you, you know, like this. No, he's going right up close and he's touching him. And he's praying for him. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Can you imagine the message to everyone? The touch of Jesus. I want the touch of Jesus on my life. If only we could see the leprosy in our hearts. If only we could see what a desensitized heart looks like. A heart that is impervious to sexual immorality. Impervious to lying and stealing and coveting. Do you know what you're doing to your heart over and over again? You're destroying it. It's becoming completely so disfigured, you don't even know what a human being should look like. Until Jesus comes and you cry out and say, Jesus, touch me. Touch me, forgive me, cleanse me. Until that moment happens, you're like the leper. Are children a burden or a blessing? That's a real good question. You know, this egg, oh man, this egg was perfect this morning. You know, I had boiled a perfect egg. No cracks in it, no anything. It was absolutely perfect. And I was just so proud I could get it here to church in one piece. Just absolutely wonderful. And now it's all broken. It's all smashed to smithereens. Ugh. Well, listen, how would you like to be a freshman in high school and have the teachers give you a lesson on how to relate to children, babies, and say, do you want to have a baby? You think it's so much fun having a baby? Well, listen, I want you to take this hard-boiled egg and I want you to carry it around for a week, for a whole week. And you've got to protect it. It's depending on you. This egg is depending on you. Can you imagine a ninth grade high school person carrying this around for a week? How do you think it would look at the end of the week? A lot worse than this. But this is an insidious lesson. Because they're not teaching them to love children. They're giving them an inanimate object. They're not giving them a real child that will respond, that will coo, that'll be warm, that'll be beautiful. God makes children in a beautiful way, doesn't he? Just beautiful. I've never seen an ugly baby. Never. You want to hug them. God makes them so you want to hug them. You want to kiss them. You want to embrace them. And so we're teaching our children on how to relate to children, our young people, by giving them an egg and say, carry it around for a week. Do you see what is happening in the world around us, and especially in our government schools? Well, why is it so bad to give a kid an egg when they're just a product of evolution anyway. It's sad. It's very, very sad. We need to be very, very careful because we want our children to grow up valuing kids, valuing children. And without giving the message to them that children are a heritage from the Lord, that the fruit of the womb is a reward. It is a reward from God. This child is someone special. They are precious. They can't be precious if you're carrying them around for a week as an egg. Or even if you carry around a doll, right? Sometimes they have the kids carry around a doll for a week. The doll never talks. The doll never says anything. Kids mock them when they have the doll, right? And they say, I'm never going to have a baby. If this is the way it is, I'm not going to have a child. They have done their work. And that is what is being taught in our school system. It's not being taught. Children are precious. The more you have, wonderful. They are a reward from God. No, oh no, 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 no. They're a burden. They're not a blessing. That's why we have to work overtime to make sure our children have God's perspective. Well, Jesus finally speaks a blessing into this child's life. You have a bright future with my blessing. And that's what you want to say with your children. You want them to have a confidence. The future is bright. I want you to know that I am praying for God to bless you and to give you a bright, bright future. You know, my heart breaks when I think of people who have not had the spoken blessing from their parents. I think of my mother who told me the story of how she lost her parents when she was around 3 and then 4 years old. Both parents, by the time she was 4, were gone. And she was placed in foster care, and they abused her, verbally abused her, and she said, they whipped me within an inch of my life. She said, they just were very, very angry with me. They were angry because they did not plan on having another mouth to feed. And so she said, it was the most miserable 5 years of my life. But then at 9 years old, my mother's sister called and said, I want Lois to come and to be with me. And so my mother went and went to her aunt, and her aunt loved her as her very own mother. And I just loved my grandmother, and she just loved my mother. And it was a beautiful, beautiful picture. But damage had been done in my sister's life, in my mother's life. Because when she had my sister, I think she had a difficult time bonding with my sister. And it came to a point where friction between my stepfather and my sister and my mother came to the place where my mother said, I'm sending you away. I'm sending you away, Rosalie. That was my sister, my older sister. Because we can't deal with this. There's too much tension in the home. I'm going to send you away to my sister and until I know what to do with this. And I can't remember my mother speaking a blessing onto my sister's life. And my stepfather definitely didn't do it. My father died in a car accident when my sister was 9 and I was she was 8 and I was 5. She rode in the ambulance to the hospital with my father dying in next to her. And she had loved and had such a wonderful relationship with my father, and that was it. He was gone. And so the next person that stepped into her life as a father was a man who did not relate to her in a proper way. And instead of him having to take responsibility, my mother said, well, there's something wrong here. I'm sending you away. And all my sister could interpret it as is, there's something defective about me. There's something wrong about me. And so my sister would just be struggle for the rest of the next 20 years in a terrible way. She would have 3 children by 3 different men, and just broken in her heart until she finally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ at around 39 years old. And it just radically, she just radically changed her life. She was filled with love. She could love her children. She could bless them in a tremendous way. But it took the work of Jesus Christ to radically save her. There was no way out. But parents, think of this. You have the opportunity to bless your children, to speak a blessing into their lives, that you are precious. God gave you to us. I know that you have a wonderful future as you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to understand that there are special things in your life. As you walk humbly before God, God's blessing is going to be upon your life. I want you to know that I love you so much. I'm praying for God's blessing to be upon your life. And you just want to make sure that they hear you affirming them and strengthening them with your words. I love this blessing by Jacob over Joseph. In the midst of all of his brothers, he's saying, by the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors. Can you see what Jacob is doing? He's just heaping blessings on this, on Joseph, who is a man at this time. He's a full-grown man. He's the second in command over all of Egypt. And his father is on his deathbed, and he's blessing his 12 sons. And here he is saying this about Joseph, up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph. He is going to be blessed. And that's what you want to be able to say over your children. You are a precious gift from God. He's given you gifts. I'm praying for you. I can see that you're going to be blessed as you humble yourself before the Lord. And I'm praying that you'll humble yourself before the Lord. And I'm praying that you'll receive all of His blessings. I want you to know, I want you to have all of His blessings. And I'm praying for this. You're so precious. You're blessing this child that God has given to you. What happens when our blessing is not given to our children? They're broken. They're broken. They're wandering around, wondering, am I loved? Wondering, am I worth anything? Wondering, should I even be alive? A child will readily receive Satan's lies into their soul when they have unconfessed bitterness in response to not having received God's blessing from their parents. This is a serious, serious experience that you need to look at and ask yourself, you know, is this child bitter over their parents' lack of touch, their lack of blessing, their lack of relationship, their lack of taking them up in their arms as they were growing up? Maybe you can think of a child right now, one of your children, and you say, you know what? I don't know if I blessed them in the right way. You can start today. You sit them down. You say, God's working in my heart. He's shown me I haven't blessed you the way Jesus blessed the children. And you know what? I think there's some things lacking. And there shouldn't be. You're so precious. You're so wonderful. And you begin to share with them and say, you can't carry, you know, anything in your heart of anger or unconfessed bitterness. You can't do that, because God says that if you have anger in your heart, you let the sun go down on your anger, you're giving a place to Satan. You're opening your heart to the work of Satan. You don't want to do that. So it's important for us to see the truth of this statement here. Have you experienced the love and blessing of Jesus? I don't know if you can really bless others unless you've received the blessing of Jesus. I'm sure in some ways you can, but there is no stronger foundation than having and knowing the blessing of Jesus Christ in your life. And that is only through salvation, isn't it? And that's only hearing the scriptures talk about his wonderful love for our lives and how he has blessed us and how he wants an intimate relationship with us. Scripture says there in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, you might be saying, well, how about John 3:16, Pastor? Isn't it interesting? Everyone stops with John 3:16. And immediately into your mind, you go, well, where's John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What a love. What a blessing. What a touch, wanting that relationship with us. And so Jesus is making it very, very clear here. He says, you know, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not why he sent. And why does he say that after John 3:16? Because people are so filled with guilt and they want to put the blame on someone else. They want to say, you know, when you come around Jesus, I feel condemned. Oh, please don't get close to me. You know what? You have guilt in your heart. You should stop and say, he wants to be close to me. He wants to save me. And that's why Jesus is saying here, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. He who believes in me is not condemned in him. But he who does not believe is what? Condemned already. He who says, no, I don't need Jesus, I'm good. It's like a leprous person saying, I'm fine. Well, how ridiculous is that? But you know what? Before Christ, our hearts are filled with leprosy, spiritual leprosy, that we can't even feel. We become immune to it until this conviction of the Holy Spirit comes and we understand how ugly we really are. All because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Light has come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I love my life. I love what I'm doing. I don't want to change it. For everyone practicing evil hates. Boy, there's no like moderation here, is there? Hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed for what they really are. But he who does the truth comes to the light. Who does the truth? We're going to look at that in a minute. That his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Someone who does the truth is moving toward the light. Now, how do you do the truth if you're not alive in Christ? How do you do the truth? Well, it might begin by saying, I'm a good person. Some people are trying to cover up their sin by saying, I'm a good person. Other people are saying, I want to be a good person. I'm trying to be a good person. They don't say that. They just say, oh, I'm a good person. But in their hearts, they know they're not a good person. But they want to be. I want to be good. It's an incredible moment in many people's lives. And we have to be careful when we're talking to them and we ask them, do you think you're a good person? They say, yeah, I do think I'm a good person. Some people are arrogant and blind and self-righteous and dead in their sin and don't want anything to do with the light. And you'll find it as you go all on into the gospel. But some people are at that point where they're saying, you know, behind me saying I'm a good person, I'm trying to be good. I want to be good. You know what? They're the ones that are going toward the light. And God's word begins to draw them more and more and more. Have you taken a look into God's law? In God's law mirror, his mirror that gives the Ten Commandments. And so as a person does that, they will see if they have lied or stolen or been filled with coveting or worshiping the wrong God or taking God's name in vain. And so a person needs to stop and to analyze, have I looked into the law of liberty? And these two passages of Scripture are very important to look at. James talks about the law of liberty, and people say, yeah, that has nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. You're not reading the Bible, clearly. Go back into James chapter 2, and you'll see that clearly. I didn't know I was guilty before God. And that's what the Apostle Paul said, didn't he? He said, I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Paul understood what the use of the law was. It was to convict us. It was to convict us that we are not measuring up to the holiness of God. Is this a godly sorrow? When you start to break and you're broken, hopefully you're broken over your lawlessness. Hopefully you're broken over your wickedness that is dragging you down into hell and that has offended the holy God of this universe, and that you see, you know what, I've been trying to deal with this issue of trying to be good, and I realize I can't until I have a Savior who cleanses me. Will this repentance lead to salvation? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, I thank God through Jesus Christ, there's no one else. And if you say, you know, my parents never blessed me, Jesus is waiting to bless you. My parents never wanted a relationship with me. They were never serious about having a relationship with me. They didn't know how to relate to me. Jesus knows how to relate to you. Jesus is going to know how to take you up in his arms and give you healing. The greatest healing that anyone could ever experience. Healing from sin. Healing from lawlessness. Where he'll give you a heart that is going to be filled with love. I love this. You know, we give thanks because of Jesus' love towards us. But look what it says. By this we know love. Why? Because he laid down his life for us, right? He first laid his life down for us. We have no doubt in our minds. When people say to me, I don't know if God loves me. You know what? You don't know Jesus. You don't know Jesus. And that's who you must know. And unless you're being blessed by him, unless you're relating to him, unless you're listening to his words of affirmation and blessing on your life, I don't know how you're going to bless anyone else. I don't know how you're going to love the little children. I don't know how you're going to want the little children to come to you. You first have to be loved. Then you'll be able to love. Oh, Lord Jesus, I ask for this. Truth to be going deep into all of our hearts. That we would follow hard after you. You, as you love children, Lord, that we would be free because we've been blessed. Because we've related to you. Because we've had you. Give us a new heart, and we have your words of blessing in our lives. Oh, Jesus, I pray this for each one of us, and I thank you for this, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.